Bunu iç. It's always, you know, it's one of the reasons when the trip to Maseru was being planned, Sibs then came up to me and said, I hadn't quite confirmed whether I was going or not. I regret having not confirmed going. Because Sibs then immediately said, well, instead of you going, can you preach? At that time, I enthusiastically said, oh, that's okay. Because it looked like it was so far away. But then, as it turns out, this weekend happened to be Women's Day weekend. And I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to preach on? So I prayed hard that whatever I preach will have nothing to do with women. Because I'll probably mess it up. But as it may, God decided that that which I didn't want to preach on is what He set on my heart. I've wrestled, I've told my wife that I've got a message that I don't want to preach and it keeps coming back to me. And unfortunately, it has stayed with me. So probably today I'm going to have one of my most challenging preaches because I'm so worried that I'll get it wrong, and or rather, I'll say it in a way that does not resonate with people, as I sometimes tend to put my foot in it when it comes to women. But anyway, we pray that God will help me through this. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share with your people this morning. I pray that what I share will be taken in the spirit and the intent that you have for your church. That what I share will make a difference in the lives of those who are here and those who will hear this message at whatever time that they may come across it. In Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Right. You know, Women's Day is a celebration. Women's Day in South Africa is a celebration of a day when women took matters into their own hands, so to speak. In a country where women were treated as infants, as children, with an internal passport that they had to move around, this was expected of so many, but women more particularly. So not only were they being victimized by the state, they were also being victimized in their own families. And on this day, 20,000 women marched on the union buildings. And we celebrate the bravery of those women who marched for those many years ago. But one may think that after having done something so courageous, that the landscape of South Africa would have changed, that today would be different. That the one thing that has changed is that there's no real requirement of that little internal passport in their pockets. But the lives of women in this country have not moved an inch from where they were that day. I say this with regret because I'm part of the system that has perpetuated the circumstances in which women find themselves in this country. One may say, but this is all political. Yes, it is, but our lives are political. And God cares about our lives. That is the angle that I want to take this morning. So as I speak this morning, as I share with you, I'm going to talk about the women in our lives. I'm going to speak from a man's point of view. So in many respects, I'm going to be talking to the men more generally than I'll be talking to the women. So men, listen very carefully. And women, applaud hard when I push them hard. You know, so what qualifies me to share with you this morning? It's because I've had, there's so many strong women that have made such a big impact in my life. The women that have been in my life, I start with my gran on my father's side, a strong woman who had 10 children and who had the wisdom and the forethought to make sure that each of her children was educated when she herself could hardly write a name. I know that for a fact because my grandmother prided herself in the fact that she knew the word perhaps. She said, no, I can speak English. And she says, perhaps. But for her, being educated was such a pride. And she scorned everybody in the neighborhood who didn't send their children to school. They did laugh at her very hard when all her children became educated and left the village and moved into town. And they said, so where are those educated children now? But she was a strong woman who put the love for education into her children, which resulted in me becoming educated myself. And I praise her for that. My mom, a woman who was widowed many years ago, but has raised a family who have resulted in what I am today. My mom, without my mom, my father wouldn't be half the man that he was. My mom came from a family where business was nurtured. My father had never known what business was. I remember when my parents were arguing, and my mom was saying, let's start a small business so that we can augment our income. My father looked at it and said, no, and what business? All he wanted to do was go and farm, because that's all he knew. But if my mom had not been a strong woman and known what to do with money, what would have become of us? We went to schools that we had no business being in because my mom worked, sold avocados, knitted jerseys through the night. I remember we used to go on duty. Look, you know, the duty was, who's going to sit up with mom while she knits the next jersey? And she expected that of us. But that changed our lives. That allowed us to have a life that was beyond who we were. My wife. I wouldn't be what I am if Maureen wasn't there. You know, Maureen came into my life and then shaped those rough edges, made me look as sharp as I look this morning. If it was not for her, what do you think I would be? Those are the realities of my life. You know, when my wife joined our family, we were villagers through and through. All we could think of was, when do we go home for Christmas and slaughter the goats? But my wife taught us that there is a holiday. You have to look at your life beyond the little circumstance of Churumans. I love you for that. She changed our lives. But if it had not been the strong woman that she is, imagine with a man as strong-willed as I am, what would have happened? She made such a big difference in my life. My mother-in-law, a God-fearing woman, who I know takes responsibility for who my wife is today. I love my mother-in-law to bits and pieces. Because now when I fly into Zim, I call my mother-in-law because she cooks my food exactly the way I want it. And part of it is for her to pay back the lobola that I paid for my wife. But I know she's a strong woman because she has raised a family that has become my own. In many respects, she has shaped the lives of those who are important to me. And I love her for that. Now, at the present time, I have two beautiful daughters who I'm raising, hopefully influencing, so that they too will become strong women. But they have changed me because they've softened me and made me a much softer human being than I was. I've always believed that, you know, I tell my children that I'm not your friend, I'm your dad. But they softened me so much that I've realized I'm now all soft. That strong exterior that I exude is long gone. So I stand here before a fully qualified man to speak on women's matters. That is what qualifies me to speak about women. The last person I probably have forgotten is my sister, the only girl in our family. A strong woman. A woman who can take emotion and just build it in it and just carry it through. When I lost my brother, she was there. She looked like the older one. She did everything. She had the emotion to go through, deal with the undertakers, deal with everything that I had to do. And when I got there, all I had to do was sign the bottom line. And I looked like the one who is good. So all I say, I've seen all these women and their strength in my life. That tells me something about what women are and can be. But then when I look around me in the society that I find myself, I am in a society where women are second-class citizens. They are looked upon as if they are not important. What bothers me the most is that South Africa, of all places, where the majority of people, when you talk to them, all they talk about are the women in their lives. Because you're either raised by your mother or your grandmother or your aunt, because no man was around or available. So I ask myself, so what happens to these people when they leave home? Why is it that people look down so much on women when they were raised all in nearly all totality by women? It seems that when you go out into society, women become a different creature altogether. What happens to us? That is what I'm here to share with you today. I ask myself, is this what God's plan for women was? I don't think so. God did an entirely different plan. Now I'm going to go all controversial on you. You see, Proverbs 31, one of the most abused chapters of the Bible. Abused because people take it as a standard against which to measure the women in their lives. They use it and say, you did not conform to verse 10 because you have failed on this. But what people forget is that Proverbs 31 is what God desires of women. It is what God wants his creation to be. It is not a standard against which you measure. So we ask ourselves, why is this not happening? Because we have a view. We believe in a certain way what God wants. So let's look at it this way. Indulge me for a moment. You see, God has an expectation, and we measure against an expectation. We forget what God expects of us. So today I want to talk to men about their part in helping their wives become Proverbs 31 women. So let's start from the beginning. We know that Proverbs 31 was probably an oracle that a mother taught his son. So this was a mother probably bringing out what God expected. But you see, at the beginning, it speaks more to the men than it speaks of what the woman is expected. We talk about, it starts by saying, mentioning not becoming drunk and about helping the needy. Then it goes into the type of women the men should marry. What we forget is that this is God's word inspired. So what he was looking for, if you look in verse 10, it says, an excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. Now, how many times have we spent telling our wives how not so excellent they are? How can somebody achieve excellence when they are pushed down and looked down upon every day? God looks for excellence because he knows that he has put excellence in them. We should be looking for excellence in our wives, then we'll find it. If you look for failure, you will find it. Becoming a Proverbs 31 woman is a process, is not an end. You only become a Proverbs 31 woman with excellence the day you meet your maker. So if you want a dead wife, continue pounding for excellence. Because we are perfected by Christ in us. We talk about trustworthy. The heart of your husband trusts in him, and he will have no lack. Your husband knows that she's trustworthy. Do you know that your wife is trustworthy? Do you know that your sister is trustworthy? All the men are ignoring me. God puts trust in them. It is not you. It is the seed that God put in them. But we find fault everywhere. It becomes an excuse for abuse. The moment we think that you're not trustworthy, you see, there you go again. I can't even trust you to leave you with the kids. Who are we? God put it in them. God decided that it is in them. Find trust. Look for it and find it. Because you will. Because if you find fault, you know, there's one thing that is clear. If you look for, you know, when you start searching, women I'm sure are very good at this. When you start searching your husband's phone looking for those incriminating SMSs, you are very likely to find them. Even if your husband is trustworthy, so it is with you. If you look for the incriminating SMS, you will find it. If you look for the evidence of being untrustworthy, you will find it. God put it in them. Find it. Help your wife find it. Help your wife become a Proverbs 31 woman. It is not your duty to measure against Proverbs 31. It is your duty to walk with her hand in hand towards becoming a Proverbs 31 woman. It is your duty to instill in your daughters that which will make them Proverbs 31 women. Not for you to say, you fall short on the trust thing, eh? She does him good and not harm all the days of his life. One of the things that I found about South Africa is that women live in a very dangerous society. every weekend particularly, you find that men do harm to women every day of their lives. There's nearly every weekend, there's somebody who has shot their partner or their wife for reasons God knows what. It's a weekly, daily thing. Why? Why do we seek not to find good in them? God put us in a, made us in a particular way that women seek to do us good. And the majority of the time, they are short for falling short of a standard that they know not about. You did not wake up when I got back from the bar last night. My food wasn't ready. That's how it goes. Now, when we say, in a country where people are raised by mothers and grandmothers, surely, how bad are these women? How bad are they? I want. We know that the women in our lives are providers. She's like the sheep of the merchant and brings her food from afar. Women have a role as providers in our lives. But what have we done? We have usurped that role. Men believe that is their God-given right to be providers. But the Bible is clear. So, when we take away work, the ability for them to work, what are we doing? Taking away their right to be providers. If you look today on the JSC, how many women CEOs do we have? There are not too many. Why? Because we don't believe that women are businessmen. But the scriptures are clear. God put it in them that they are business women. But who are we? We have decided, no, they are not good enough. We do not allow the women in our lives to do what God set them out to do, to be providers for their families. Because when you talk about, you know, she's like the ships of the merchant. She brings a food from afar. In today's world, where is afar? Afar is in the office. That's where it is. So why can she not go and work if she so chooses? Why can she not? No, you know, this is a man's world. No, we are probably in the wrong place. We are talking about this, you see, probably, because Christians are the ones that bring down women the most. You know, when you talk about the expectations of a wife, when you talk to the Christian brothers, they are much, much more comfortable with a woman locked up safely in the kitchen and being nowhere near a calculator or a computer. Because, you know, they're supposed to be God-fearing. But read your scriptures well, and you'll know where they belong. Women are practical with money. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Now, until recently, women could not even buy a house on their own. Why? Because of some Christian-based system. I don't know where they found the Christianity in it. Because what is clear is that a woman will buy a piece of land. She considers it. She does the budget and puts money together and says, no, look, this is what we buy for the family. How many of you who let even your children, your daughter, your wife, your grandmother buy anything without consulting you? Hey, there has to be a meeting. What do you want to buy? What house? No. Our responsibility is clear. We support what God has already ordained. God is clear on what women can do and are supposed to do. 50% of the world's population was not meant to be subjugated by the other 50%. The plan was never for 50% to dominate the other 50%. We throw away 50% of the world's abilities. We throw away 50% of our wealth. The reason why you don't have that big house, I speak to you men, is because you are not letting those who have the divine right to buy the piece of land buy it. Because they make the right decisions. Sometimes we get very excited. Yeah. We live where we live because of my wife. If it had been me, it would be in Cosmo City. Not that there's anything wrong with Cosmo City. But I've been blessed that we stay in Morningside in Centre. My wife insisted. I didn't listen to her because I understood the scriptures, but she just insisted. She's a strong woman. If it had not been for her, we would not have been pulled where we are. I would have been just ready to have any piece of land and say, this is home. All I'm saying is that understand the roles that we have got. Do not put away the skills that have been put in your household because you think you know best. I know some of you are already unhappy with me. Women are diligent workers. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. I grew up with this example very well. My mother used to knit jerseys. She used to knit jerseys so much that I have never worn a shop-bought jersey. Or at least the first one, I think Maureen bought me. Right through school, you know when you wear that jersey that your mother knits for you, the one that is home. That's the one I've worn all my life. Boy, did I hate that jersey. But then when I started understanding scripture, I understand where it came from. My mom needed those jerseys, and she used to boast. You know, she goes into the house and says, yeah, that one, that stove I bought from those jerseys that I sold in 1982. That the deposit for that car, I paid for the jerseys that I needed in 1984. Because she was a diligent Proverbs 31 woman. If my father had been proud and said, no woman of mine goes around selling jerseys, what would have happened to us? But remember, my mother was also a teacher. But she had a business on her side. My mother was diligent. How many men are able to do that? My father, who was in the same profession as my mother, all he could wait for was his paycheck. But my mother had a paycheck plus the jerseys that she needed. That's what made a difference in our lives. So when we allow our women to flourish, when we allow those who are in our lives to flourish, we flourish too. That's what God is expecting of us. God is not giving this scripture to us so that we use it as a bashing of the women who are in our lives. It's a reminder to show us that which is possible. It is possible. Friends, sometimes we take away what they've been given. There are very few men who can make a profit by selling tomatoes. But I can assure you, with the patience of women that you have got around you, they will make a profit from tomatoes. The problem with men, you sell one tomato and you go to the pub. The woman will sell a tomato and put the money away. That's the reality. So let's learn to take the diligence of those who are around us and let it help us become great. Because with men, we have these great and lofty ideas that we never fulfill. There is very little diligence, a lot of imagination and dreaming, but a very little follow through. And I can see the nodding from some of the most senior members of the church. It shows that they have seen it in many, for a long, long period. Sorry, Jenny, but... You know, so, Proverbs 31 also tells us something else. It tells us how to respond to Proverbs 31 women. Now, this is the fun part. Because, you see, when we read it, we only read it looking for the faults in the women. But when you read it closely, you'll find that in verse 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. When was the last time that you praised your mother? When was the last time that you called her blessed? When was the last time you praised your wife? All we seek is the flaws in her character and forget that which she was supposed to do. Call her blessed. Because she is blessed by God. We, those who are up close and personal to her. I speak about my mother today, about all the great things that she's done. But I doubt I've ever said to her face. I doubt I've ever called her blessed for all the things that she has done for us. Where are you in this continuum? Are you one of those who has said nothing? Who has not said to these prophets, 31 women that were provided by God in your life, you have not called them blessed? It goes further. Husbands, you are in trouble. In verse 29, it says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. The husband speaks of it. He says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. When was the last time Charles told Abby that he surpassed them all? When? Kurai, when were you told that you surpassed them all? That is what I'm talking about. I could see that those young men were sleeping. All I say is that it is our responsibility as we nurture, as we help those who are in our lives become Proverbs 31 women. It is about what we say to them. I believe that the challenges that South Africa faces today are because of our responses to the people, those women who have been so excellent in people's lives. We've got Proverbs 31 women who have looked after generation upon generation of people. But nobody has called them blessed. And nobody has told them that they surpassed them all. If we realized how well they've done in raising those families, I do not think we'll be killing them left, right, and center as we do. The majority of people in this country, women particularly, are killed by their partners or people who are close to them. They are not killed by people who are roaming the streets. It is those that they raised. The very people that are supposed to say, you are blessed, are the ones that bless them with the gunshot. Now, finally, I want to look at what Jesus thought about women. Because it's important, we can say, no, but this is the Old Testament. This was in Proverbs 31. Maybe let's look at what Jesus thought. Jesus was very clear on the role of women. Some even say that his views on women were revolutionary. Because at the time of Christ, women were nothing short of second-class citizens. Nobody viewed them as being of any importance. But Christ was clear. At a time when people wouldn't even be seen talking to a woman, Christ not only spoke to women, but he spoke to the women who were not viewed as anything. So, what this reminds me of is that the women that Christ associated with were far from the Proverbs 31 women that we understand when we read the scriptures. What it tells me is that it is not the end product that matters, but it is the process that is most important. When you look at it, Christ was born of a woman who was a young woman at that. So he had not attained any of these lofty standards. So the start of his life was from a very young woman who was still trying to find a fit. If the end product was so important, God would have taken a businesswoman who was well-cultured, well-groomed to be the mother of his son. But no, a young woman who could hardly understand what was going on around him became the mother of his son. Secondly, if you look at some of the women that Christ himself associated with, the woman at the well, five husbands, if anything, look, she was nothing short of a prostitute. But Christ found time to speak to him. This was not just a woman, this was a Samaritan woman. I mean, how much worse could it get? But he chose to speak to him. If you look at the woman with the issue of blood, now, that was, I think, the only people that she was higher than were lepers. But Christ chose to speak to them. All it is telling us is that Christ was clear that it is not about the end product. It's about the desires as you walk towards becoming a Proverbs 31 woman. Christ was clear in that not only were his disciples male and female, his disciples were male and female, but because our views, sometimes I believe that there's a bit of a slant towards more of the male than what they did. But if you think about it, who was left when Christ was on the cross? The majority of all those strong men had run away from him. It was the women who were around him. So think about it. The role of women was never to be undermined. It was never to be second class. God created male and female. Male and female, he created them. And what we know is that there's one thing that we know. Of all God's creation, what did he say about his creation? He said it was good. So if it is good, it is not second class. If it is good, it's nothing short of what God wanted it to be. So as I conclude this morning, I want to challenge you as a church today and say, in this weekend, in this month, may our hearts be changed. May we know that God's plan for women was never for them to be second class, was for them to be first class. God planned and put women and men in the Garden of Eden to work together in that garden. not to work separately, but to work together. So as we work in our present day Eden, may we be reminded of what God's plan was. God's plan was never to have a second-class citizen, nor was it to have a class of less perfect beings. God's plan was always clear. He wanted men and women to work together and march to eternity. As we are sanctified and as we are made better, my challenge to you is that Proverbs 31 in the days of old was used as a chant by men to their wives, not as a standard. So today, Sibs, when you get home, take Proverbs 31, start from verse 10, it's nice from there, and sing it to your wife. Because you are not challenging her, but you are telling her of what God desires of her. Because God desires excellence. God desires excellence, and he has put it in them. And as we, as those in our lives, the women in our lives, as they excel, we too will excel. May God bless you. Enjoy Women's Month. Amen.